The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. It feels like a Monday to all of us here at Bustos Media because we were fortunate enough to take a little break and enjoy what they call Easter Monday. Which I didn't really realize was such a big holiday in many parts of the world, Tom Fairbanks.
It's a new one on me.
Canada, Europe, Australia.
As long as the Easter Bunny remembered.
Yeah. Anyway, so we hope everyone had as good as possible, very different kind of Easter Sunday, but I hope it went well for everyone in the Buckmaster Show listening audience. Tom Fairbanks is my engineer producer. He's also my buddy. And we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday, almost to the midway point. I think we'll all be happy to see April in the rearview mirror. It's April 14th, 2020. We are practicing safe distancing while bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We resume now our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College. It's a series that introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Dr. David Doré. Dr. Doré is the president of campuses and executive vice chancellor for the student experience and workforce development. Dr. Doré, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's our pleasure, and I want to get an update, and so do our listeners. How has the coronavirus crisis impacted the learning experience at Pima Community College?
Well, it certainly has had a significant impact on our modality and our delivery. And just to give you a little bit of background, so, Bill, we actually closed our face-to-face services. We ended those on March 17th, and that was actually during our spring break for our students. And during that time, and actually prior to that, we really have been, we began planning early regarding our response to COVID-19. And so during that spring break, we began the preparation to really convert all of our courses and our services over to the virtual modality. So during that break, faculty participated in over 50 webinars about delivering virtual and online instruction. And we converted about 2,000 individual courses, quickly converted those over to the virtual modality. And then in terms of our student services, we transitioned all of our student services and academic support to fully the virtual environment and then through the telephone. So, that's advising and counseling and access and disability resources, our veteran services. And in academic support, we have embedded coaches and academic support in the shells for all of these virtual courses. So it has been a tremendous, if you will, Herculean effort on the part of our faculty, staff, and administration. And I really want to commend our faculty and staff. I think it's been a collaborative and compassionate response from Pima faculty and staff across the entire district. So that's kind of what's been going on the last few weeks.
Tell me a little bit about the footprint of online before all of this, Dr. Doré. Percentage-wise, how much online were you doing? Just kind of a ballpark figure to kind of give us a feel.
We were over 25% online as we were going into the pandemic. What this is really doing, and we've seen our online has been our fastest growing modality. If you look in terms of student headcount, prior to the pandemic, our online student headcount, if you counted it as a campus, would really be our largest campus. And so what this has really done is accelerated that. And we believe, this is going to have a long-term impact on that virtual modality in terms of the percentages of students that will be taking their courses virtually.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask that, because in our previous interviews with the good people over at Pima, we've heard more and more about the online modality, and the future apparently will, when we come out of this, hopefully sooner than later, it's going to be a real important part of the learning experience, isn't it?
Yes. And like I said, you know, in many ways, what's going on at Pima is really reflective at the national level. You know, higher education has been heading in this virtual direction. And I think this pandemic is really is accelerating that movement. And it certainly is going to accelerate our efforts here at Pima Community College. You know, looking at a recent survey of the Strata Educational Network, they were looking at respondents, and more higher percentage of students are preferring the online modality for its flexibility and convenience, for particularly for working learners and for learning workers.
You know, reflecting on where we go from here, the rebuilding of this nation is going to be huge. Pima is going to play an enormous role in workforce development. We know it's been important, but it's going to be more so, David Doré, in the future, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Bill. You know, if you look at just what's going on in Arizona, if you look and compare from this time last year, unemployment claims are up over 700%.
Wow.
From this time last year. And, you know, once the virus is contained, what we're going to see at Pima, because of this high unemployment rate right now, we're going to see a pretty significant demand for upskilling of workers. And many workers are going to be actually needing to shift out of the industry that they're in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I reference that Strata survey of the respondents. 61% have lost income.
Wow.
And over 70% are concerned about losing their jobs. And so this really is a time where Pima will play an even more important role in workforce development and really the economic stability of Southern Arizona.
How about the challenge technically over at Pima in getting this massive effort going from about 25% online to a total online? What's that been like, David Doré?
You know, that's where we've had to do a lot of training in a very short period of time. And you can imagine the challenge. Our faculty and staff, some of which were already delivering instruction online, but many of which were not, right? And so they really, this is a new modality for many of them. And so it has been, it's been a challenge. But as I said, I'm really inspired and impressed at how both our faculty and staff have responded. And many of our faculty and staff did not have the proper devices. And so we have actually distributed well over 400 laptops to our faculty and staff, in the last couple of weeks, so that they could work remotely. And it really has been a significant learning curve for many of them. But I have to say that they have responded very, very generously.
And I'm sure there were hiccups initially, but you're about almost coming up on a month into this. Do things seem to be smoothing out a little bit, Dr. Doré?
Things are definitely smoothing out. I think, you know, our attention during this pandemic has you know, our highest priority and the priority of our chancellor and the board very early on was the safety of our students, of our employees, and then of our community. And so, you know, that's been a real priority. And that's why we made the decision to shut down and suspend our face-to-face operations very early in the process. And it certainly has been a challenge for many of our students. And that's been one of the real struggles for us, is trying to get access for our students, many of which don't have access to Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we've done, you know, early on is we have opened up, now we've opened up two of our parking lots so that students can actually go access Wi-Fi in our parking lots.
Great.
We've also been in conversations with Steve Holmes over at Sunnyside School District about, and he's very welcoming for our Pima students to use their bus Wi-Fi spots as well. Mm. So that's been a big challenge for the students. The other challenge is many of our students don't have devices. And so we've worked with one of our partners to get laptops into the hands of students, but we really need to get far more devices out there. And so we're working on a plan to get more devices into the hands of Pima students moving forward.
All right. I love it. Thinking out of the box to move forward. Dr. David Doré, president of campuses, executive vice chancellor for the student experience and workforce development. David, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Bill. And just one last thing I want to say is we've established a Pima Foundation emergency fund. Okay. And if anybody would like to donate to that fund, they can reach out to PimaFoundation.org because that fund is for our students and to really get money into the hands of our students who need it very, very much now.
Excellent. Stay safe out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. David Doré with our every other month Pima Community College interview. Some good information about what's going on at Pima. I can tell you what's going on at Mona's Danish Bakery because I firsthand experience over the weekend where you can walk into the bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, pick up your goods, pick up your bakery goods. They're open at 6:30 in the morning. Until 2 in the afternoon, you can call ahead if you want some breakfast or lunch to be ready for you, or maybe your breads and you know exactly what you want, like I usually do. You can go to monasdanishbakery.com. The phone number's there, 579-1959, and you can always find the link at buckmastershow.com. We link up with all of our great sponsors like Mona's. Again, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Back with Shelley Fishman right after this.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start thinking about that trip. Once it is safe enough to travel, hopefully that will be coming up very soon. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. You can start your planning right now. SouthwestNewMexico.org. So many recreation opportunities that will be coming up. Hopefully we can have everybody up and running maybe in the around June sometime, and that's a perfect time of year over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And our isolation of Shelley Fishman, not Shelley specifically, but all of our guests telephonically continues. And I miss seeing Shelley's smiling face across from me here in the Bustos Media Studios, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. But I'm here alone in the studio. I have Tom. And I have Tom smiling at me on the other side of the glass. So, you know, we're down here hanging out. And, hey, not a bad day on Wall Street after kind of a bad what they call Easter Monday. It didn't look too good, but now we're kind of back where we were at the end of last week, right, Shelley?
Right. Today has kind of just offset yesterday's losses, so we're about even. Actually, we're off the highs for the day. Be interesting to see where the day ends up.
Shelley, this pandemic has exposed, I think, in graphic detail, the three most corrosive economic factors that you and I have discussed for several years here on the program, and that would be climate change, the U.S. healthcare system costs, and income equality. Would you agree, my friend?
Absolutely, Bill. In fact, in ways that we probably couldn't have predicted, the basic weaknesses of our economy are being really exacerbated now by this pandemic. I mean, if you take a look, for instance, at the issue of climate change, you say, well, now climate change is a long-term issue. How can a pandemic that's been only going on for a few months have made permanent changes? Well, the first changes it's made have actually been good. The use of carbon fuels, carbon-based fuels, is down about 30% worldwide right now. And so our air is cleaner. If we could have produced a 30% reduction in carbon-based fuels through the Paris Accords or some similar treaty organization, we would have considered that a huge victory.
Yes, indeed.
The problem is that it's caused a glut of oil worldwide.
Yeah.
Now, OPEC plus a couple of other countries have agreed on about a 10% cut. They did that over the weekend. But a 10% cut when we have a 30% cut in demand, so a 10% cut in supply, is still going to cause the world's stock of crude oil to continue to increase. And in fact, the price of crude oil has remained low even after the announcements of the weekend, in fact, below $30. as per barrel. As a result, what we're going to have is disincentives for non-carbon-based fuels, in other words, alternative energy supplies, disincentives for those things to be developed because the price of fuel is so low and the price of carbon-based fuels will probably remain low for a couple of years. And so the ultimate effect on the climate through the use of carbon-based fuels will get worse and worse as the economy begins to normalize.
But boy, it sure looks great, some of these pictures I'm seeing, like the one out of India, where folks in northern India are able to look at the Himalaya Mountains for the first time in 30 years, and then these other pictures of wildlife returning to our national parks without any people around. Those are kind of fun, and that's a little bit of the silver lining out of this. There hadn't been much.
Right. So those are interesting things. The issue with health care and the costs of health care in the U.S. system are really fundamental to one of the reasons why our economy has slowed down to the extent it has. We're paying, probably twice as much on average per capita for health care than the rest of the industrialized world. And those costs have really been a burden on our economy. It's made it almost impossible, for instance, to pursue things like infrastructure needs that have been just accumulating over the past couple of decades. And what's happened here is because now the government, the federal government, is picking up so many extra costs of health care for so many people who are uninsured that those costs are higher than they need to be. In fact, almost twice as high as they need to be. So the cost of picking up kind of the gap that is being created by this pandemic is being borne by taxpayers and by the federal government in ways that we could never have anticipated. You know, it's one thing when employers are paying for health care at too high a cost or individuals are paying for it, but remember, a good part of our budget is Medicare, Medicaid, and other health-related issues. And when the federal government is having to pay such a high cost, it just means we can't get other stuff done. And we have huge deficits as a result of that.
Then you have the whole income inequality, and you have blue-collar and service workers. Perhaps we've never appreciated them as much as we do right now, but they are putting their lives at risk. They're on the front lines right now, Shelley.
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, this has become a pandemic of the poor. And what we're beginning to see is how critical the functioning of our day-to-day economy is to those people showing up to work every day and doing their jobs. And because those jobs have become more and more dangerous, more and more of those people are getting sick, and more of them are dying. In fact, over the past week, we've seen some horrible statistics about how this pandemic is affecting, in a completely unequal way, the communities of color and certainly immigrants. So what we're seeing is that our supply of food is now under some pressure. We've seen that the delivery of food, the stocking of food, and the manning of grocery stores, and of course, all of the people in the healthcare system who are going to work every day and putting themselves at risk. And many of those people are people who we would consider to be blue-collar workers. It's not just the doctors and the nurses. It's the whole support system in the healthcare industry that are coming under really increasing pressure. So what we're seeing, especially among people who for the past almost 2 years have made some real gains in their salaries, mostly as a result of states implementing new minimum wage laws, those are the people who are the hardest hit now. And it's difficult to see how those people recover from this anytime soon.
How are you doing with your sequestering yourself at your household?
Well, you know, things could be a lot worse.
Right.
And, And I can't complain in any way. You know, we're in the house more. You can't go out to the movies. You can't get together with friends. My vacation was should have started last Monday. I mean, right now I should be in Verona, Italy, but I'm not. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. Now, there are worse places to be than Tucson, Arizona, in April. As you know, and you've mentioned on the air, we built a gym a couple of years ago here attached to the house. And so I'm getting a workout every day, and I get to play the piano a couple of hours a day. So life could be a lot worse. I'm not complaining. But there are real reasons why people are suffering and suffering badly. And we need, as a society, to begin to address those, not just in terms of a pandemic or in terms of emergency situations, but really getting the income inequality squeezed out of the system. This is about a 40-year problem, and it's going to take probably 30 or 40 years to fix, but it doesn't start getting fixed until we start fixing it.
All right, Shelley Fishman, stay safe.
You too, Bill.
All the best to you. We will talk with you at this time next Tuesday. Thank you, Shelley.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice. Trusted news talk, and we have Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel coming up after the break.
CBS News Update. It's a seesaw until the end. Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking with the Associated Press on how to treat coronavirus in the future.
I'll guarantee you, once you start pulling back, there will be infections. It's how you deal with the infection that's going to count.
A day after saying the state may be reaching its peak, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the number of deaths in his state is up again.
Lives lost yesterday, 778. That number is up, and that is, to me, the most painful number.
At the White House, the president hosted several COVID-19 survivors, congratulating them on making a recovery. Retired NFL tight end Mark Campbell says he thinks he caught it by touching a gas pump. The 44-year-old says it has been a long, trying month.
I mean, when it's all said and done, I've had roughly 30 days of quarantine. You know, that's 30 days without being able to kiss your kids and wife.
There are 23,700 U.S. deaths. CBS News Update. I'm Matt Piper.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio over at Green Things. They have everything you need for your the small home grower with the ready-made hydro kits. They're easy to assemble. Check out Green Things. They've ramped up the Green Lady Hydro business, 3384 East River Road. It is time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. Bon Voyage Travel experts ready to create your trip of a lifetime. Three Southern Arizona locations, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the website. The first stop in making your travel dreams come true. And Ryan, that's what a lot of us are doing, myself including, doing a lot of dreaming these days. And until the all clear is sounded, we'll be continuing to do so. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and you're right on target with your thought process. I mean, all of us, and Shelley included, just mentioned that he should be enjoying the Italian countryside right now, and how many of us are just dreaming about that day when we will be able to travel the world again. This cabin fever is going to continue to set in, and this is the perfect time to start dreaming and start talking and planning, because there will come a day that will come out of this. It will be a new world, but we're excited to work with people as we always have been, people that that have had to reposition their trip or plan it for a different time. We're ready to talk to those people now, because it is it's going to come. It's just maybe not right now.
I think a lot of people don't realize how important travel and leisure the industry is, not only to this country, but Ryan Hansen, 1 in 10 jobs in the world are dependent on the travel and leisure business. And of course, travel and leisure has been one of the industries particularly hard hit. So that's a lot of people out of work, isn't it?
That's right. And I think so many of us focus on what's in our own backyard and what businesses are being impacted. And there's no doubt we should be concerned about the restaurants and the other businesses that are having to shut down here locally in Tucson because of the governor's, shelter in place, non-essential versus essential businesses. But when you look at the world, there probably is not too many other businesses more impacted because of countries' complete border shutdown. And as the days go by, we're starting to understand that some countries are taking a little bit more of a strict approach to closures of borders for outsiders and how long that could take. And what that does is that takes your local tour guide, your local driver and taxi driver that is used to shuttling back and forth tourists, the restaurants in these faraway places, the docent in that museum that is maybe paid a very small wage just to provide color commentary on the works of art in the smallest of places in the world. Those people are out of jobs, and it does come back even locally too. We've talked recently, Bill, about the Alaska cruise market and how some of those towns are solely reliant on tourists that come through the cruise channel to the Alaska market, and those businesses gear up for 4 to 5 months of opportunity to make money, and then every other time of year is just trying to prepare for that. If that's completely shut down, those businesses, those individuals are definitely negatively impacted.
Take a town like Ketchikan along the Inside Passage, or Sitka. Our friend Tom Fairbanks here, my fine engineer producer who worked so many years in broadcasting in Alaska, has given me a big shaking of the head up and down. He knows the impact this is going to cause when you've got basically the whole Alaskan cruise season scrubbed. You know what that's going to do to those people that depend on the jobs in the summer? Big time problem.
Big time. And you mentioned, you know, the 1 in 10 globally. So that's factoring in every job that's out there. But in some of these destinations, the Caribbean comes to mind. Alaska in these small towns, as you mentioned, Sitka, Juneau, a little bit larger, so maybe not as impactful. But Skagway is another place in Alaska that I think of. It's got to be 7, 8, 9 out of 10 jobs are reliant for at least a significant portion of their revenues or all of their revenues tied to the travel and tourism industry. And so this is a global phenomenon that's impacting everybody. It's definitely impacting Bon Voyage Travel as the travel planners in this whole mix as well.
But people are looking ahead. Certainly the cruise industry will take a huge hit in 2020, but people are looking ahead in that industry to 2021. And how will, when the cruise industry reemerges, how will it be different, Ryan Hansen?
Well, much like any global situation, the world changes after that phenomenon or that occurrence has happened. Think of World War II. In my lifetime, I think of 9/11. And what happened in the travel and tourism space after 9/11 was for the better for all of us. It created a more safe and secure way to travel, albeit a few more inconveniences to the individual. But now, haven't we all gotten used to it? We surely have and are appreciative of the safety measures. I think of that positive that will come out of all of this when we do return to traveling as we used to, but it won't be the same. The cruise industry is in the middle of right now, being driven by a lot of the governments of the world asking for more reassurances of the safety and wellness of passengers that are on cruise ships, but the cruise ship industry themselves are imposing more strict guidelines. They've always been cognizant of the situation where they are away from health facilities for a time period based on being at sea. So I've talked to many cruise executives that are not only increasing the cleanliness standards, the policies and procedures and how they clean public spaces, private spaces, the care in which they're going to in the lengths at which they're going to be going to do that when passengers return, but also the medical facilities and the responsiveness that individual cruise ships will have to its passengers to provide what would be reasonable care. And I think a lot of people might say that needs to increase the size of the medical facilities and the number of medical staff on a ship needs to increase. And that there will be standards based on the number of passengers per the number of medical crew that is responsible for that. You can guarantee that the medical crew to passenger ratio will definitely increase out of this, which is all for the better for the passengers.
All right, Ryan, where do we go from here? Domestic travel obviously is going to be a big thing. A lot of people are going to still want to try to carve out some semblance of a summer getaway, and hopefully when the all clear comes, that's going to happen. I'm hearing that airline bookings are starting to look pretty good from where they are right now, and that's rock bottom for perhaps the end of May and into June. So people are going to maybe see some national parks that they have not seen in this country.
I think you've hit it on the head. We're looking at a summer of probably more domestic excursions and adventures by way of car to national parks or close-in getaways. I think of your Tucson listenership here, Bill, and I know you have listeners all over the world that listen to podcasts and otherwise, but if you think of Tucson in particular, many of us venture to Southern California in a normal summer. San Diego becomes Tucson West in the month of July, I feel, and I think that will be a hotbed for many of the Tucsonans to get away to the White Mountains. But I love the national park idea, and there's don't think that just because Bon Voyage and Bill Buckmaster talk, we talk once a month about these exotic destinations and faraway lands that we specialize in. There is really no time better to have an advisor in your corner than during a crisis or trying to make sure that you're coming out of a crisis and planning properly. So sorry for the shameless plug here, Bill, but now's the time to have somebody in your corner like a Bon Voyage travel advisor helping you manage and understand where's the best places to travel, how do I venture out of out of my four walls of my own quarantine land here, and can I do that safely and effectively this summer? We see that summer vacations are still possible and on the horizon.
Yeah, and just a few quick thoughts on my end. Travel's always been a touchstone in my life. It's a de-stressor, bucket list planning, and I'm doing a lot of that. And I'm rereading a book, and I'd like to recommend it, Ryan. It's called The Art of Travel. It's by a British writer named Alan de Botton. That's D-E and then the last name, B-O-T-T-E-N. The Art of Travel. Rereading it, it came out about 2002. It's a wonderful book for all of the armchair travelers who are very much right now at home in that armchair. Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill, and happy travels to you when we get out of this.
All righty, my friend. BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. We'll still be doing a lot of dreaming about travel. All right, coming up next, so many scams associated with the coronavirus. Pam Krim of the Better Business Bureau is with us next. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert, scam of the month alert, presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Always a pleasure to welcome Pam Krim, CEO of the BBB. I wish Pam's smiling face was across from me right now in the studio, but of course, we understand that all of our interviews being done right now telephonically. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. It's great to hear your voice. And again, I'm sorry I can't be in the studio with you.
Well, maybe next month. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But anyway, Pam,
yeah.
BBB, what's the word? You guys are open for business, correct?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm very, very proud of our team. We've been working remotely since the 18th of March. And all of our services for businesses and consumers are up and running at full capacity.
So going to the website, is that kind of the starter place for people that would like information during this time?
Yeah. If you go to BBB.org, you can also go to BBB.org/coronavirus. And there's a wonderful list of information for consumers as well as business owners.
So is this a resource page devoted to the coronavirus?
It is. And we also have one devoted to price gouging and et cetera. And that you go to bbb.org/add truth. Because now that the governor has, in fact, declare this a health emergency, then we as the BBB can start gathering the different price gouging information that's out there that consumers are reporting, and then we get it to the proper authorities. And price gouging can be anywhere from about 15% and up, and it's usually around products, or it's appropriately around products that are involved in this type of healthcare scenario.
You know, I am seeing so many of these. They're obvious scams that you're seeing on social media. Tell us about some of the more blatant ones that you're very concerned about.
Yeah, the most blatant one is the one that's about cures, okay? You don't want to buy any cures-type products from a fella in the parking lot of your grocery store. And I know that makes me sound like, okay, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. But trust me, in a situation like this, people are desperate. People might not be thinking correctly. They've got a lot on their minds, and they might make a bad decision. So please don't buy things or any type of cure or products from someone that is approaching you, especially in a parking lot and online. You know, all the cures, et cetera, they need to go through a healthcare professional.
I see a lot of people trying to promote a sale of protective masks.
Right. And the thing about that is, again, you always want to do your research. So you don't want to do that from a Facebook, and not that I'm not a Facebook fan, but you don't want to do that from a social media source or any source that's pushed out at you. What you want to do is go to that website itself with the URL and shop it from there, where you can actually get good information about the organization. What's happening is either people are getting, let's say masks, for instance, they're getting a mask that's really not effective, or they're not getting a mask at all, and they've already paid. So it's the typical bad guys out there, either not giving you anything or not giving you what you thought you were going to get.
Now we've got the stimulus payments, and again,
scam. Yeah.
This is a huge area of concern, isn't it, Pam Krim?
Yeah, it is. As soon as they knew that money would be coming from our government for the individual stimulus program, people started scamming folks, trying to get bank information, saying we need this before you can get your stimulus package. And, you know, as most people do pay their taxes online, the government has most of your bank account information already on where to deposit that check. And they're also setting up a website that you can go to and let them know. So they're not going to contact you via a text or something like that. You need to go back and see how you paid your taxes, see if you gave them a bank account, or go to the IRS website and get real good information.
So you can expect probably scammers to be getting on the telephone as well and saying that we need more information before we can send you a check. I would imagine that could that's going to be coming.
Right, and the government doesn't have time to call all of us to do that, right?
Yeah.
So again, if you want any information about any of these scams, right down to the zip code, we have the most notarized site in the United States to get scam information. And again, that's bbb.org /scam tracker, or you can just go to bv.org and you'll see a link on our website for the scam tracker.
Pam, I am.
But there's a lot of information there.
Pam, I'm seeing more and more of these high school photos all over social media. And I had a friend today that sent me one. Boy, that was, you know, that's kind of nice to see that. But what are the dangers about putting stuff like this up? And by the way, I saw someone who sent an old passport photo.
Oh, gosh.
And that really concerns me, Pam Krim.
Well, two things. First, let me talk to you a little bit about the high school phenomenon. Yeah. I, too, saw that and thought, gee, isn't that fun? It's great to see where my friend Judy, you know, where she is, et cetera, et cetera. And, but the thing about it is when you think about going through security questions, when you're trying to utilize some sort of account or a bank account, many times they ask you security questions. Sometimes those security questions are, where did you go to high school?
Yep.
I know I have one that's one of my questions, as well as what year did you graduate from high school? So now they have your name, they have where you went to high school, and they have when you graduated, all of which could be part of your, quote, secret security question.
Right.
So although that's very fun and we all have a lot of time to be on Facebook right now, you know, I really would refrain from that, as well as refrain from all of those. What kind of dog would I be if I came back in 2 years or whatever it is? They have a lot of questions that you, they're going to imagine what you're going to be. And everybody's always curious, and we know it's kind of pointless but fun, but they too are gathering information on you.
The one I
so
really
try to refrain from any of those.
The one I'm not interested in is this is the way you're going to look in a few years.
I know how
I look right now. There you go. Let's kind of summarize this about, again, the clearinghouse, the bbb.org/coronavirus. That's a good starting place,
yeah.
Right?
It sure is. It's a very good starting place for business owners with just a lot of different information and information about the SBA loans, et cetera. Okay, so it takes on the financial aspect of running your business and the HR aspect of running your business and a lot of things in between there. And then also for consumers, there's a lot of information there about the coronavirus. So we've really tried to do our part in educating, and we're gathering information from all over the country. So we have a national organization that supports us in the information gathering. And then I have a heck of a great guy, Sean Hedrick, who is also gathering all this information locally and putting it on our website. So I really encourage people. I know our web traffic is up considerably due to the fact that our website is very useful. So we're very excited that we're able to work on our mission.
And again,
educating people.
You have a PSA, a public service announcement campaign promoting 3,200 accredited businesses. That's pretty cool.
I really appreciate you bringing that up because it's called Building Trust in Trying Times. And if you trust is more important now than ever, I think. Mm-hmm. And we have 3,200 members that have gone through our process of becoming accredited who are very involved in being a trusted resource and company and service provider for all of us in Southern Arizona. So we really ask people, go to our website, take a look at our directory, whatever it is service you need. You can find out, number one, if they're open, as well as all the information about them. And it will say that they are BBB accredited. We do put that on the directory. Even though we have 3,400 businesses that are listed there, we do call out those that are accredited for all of our consumers.
Very good. Pam Krim, CEO of the outstanding Better Business Bureau here in Southern Arizona. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks, Pam.
You too, and I'll look forward to seeing you next month.
All right.
I'm an optimist.
All right, me too. I hope okay. I'll see you sitting across from me here in the studio. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show in the
Thank
Green.
You.
Thank you, Pam. Thanks. In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, thanks, Green Things and Zocalo Village, for your support as well here on 1030, Trusted Local News and Talk. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. We are scheduled to have Congresswoman Martha McSally on the program tomorrow, get an update on the stimulus, how that's going. Also, thanks, Tom. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next with his highly entertaining and informative program on money. Have a great afternoon.